So, Reb Meir and Bruria. So, to remind ourselves, what happened? So, Reb Meir had a bunch of people who bothered him. Yes. It's fine. I mean, you read the Gemara. So, no, are we doing the Gemara? Right? So, Reb Meir had people bothered him. He wanted to either, as we saw last week, daven for them to die, or in the Paris and the Munich manuscript,
wanted to kill them
in court. Yes. Very different valence there. And Bruria convinces him not through Yitam Uchatam in Aretz, etc. And we talked about last week the grammatical issue, right? We talked about C.S. Lewis's claim, well, how do you get yourself to not, to, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin, whatever direction you want to do that in, right? Which for him was his model from himself, right? That with ourselves, most of us at least, right, dislike the sins that we do, but we don't dislike ourselves. In fact, the more we like ourselves, the more disappointed we are in ourselves when we do things we don't like. Then we talked about whether we paskin like Bruria or paskin like Meir, and didn't get too much down that rabbit hole of the of the mooncatcher of we don't paskin like it because only women would ever have such mercy, nashim daitat kalatein, which was, you know, weird. Okay, there are two main issues. There are many, many issues in this Gemara, but there are two main ones that I want to do, and what? No. Look, there's a lot of material on this. I have so much material on this. There are at least two main issues that I think we have to deal with, okay? So let's assume for the moment the gears that we have in our Gemara, that what Bruria was saying was, don't daven for people to die because of their sin, right? Don't daven for them. And Reb Meir is fine with it. So, but the major question that we left off with last time is, okay, this all works, but, so, I mean, yes, can you daven for someone to die? But what we'll focus on, right, there are variations, but let me focus on probably the one that's talked about the most, and then we'll see derivatives of it. Probably what, I don't know if the most, what I think, but possibly the most, that that the Mepharshim deal with is the most blatant counter evidence to this, right? Which is, Vilam Malshinim, right? That's where we left off with last week, which is, it's, you know, very nice to say you shouldn't daven for people to be destroyed and killed and died and whatever. And then to turn around and three times a day to have this very gentle bracha of v'lam al shinim, al titikvar, and they should have no hope, and they should be lost, right? Very good. So what do you do, right? So what do you do? So I'm going to read you my summary. Right, and I'll read you. I'm going to go through my summary. If at some point there's a mifarish you want me to read inside because you don't believe what I am saying, then please tell me. Okay? Now, I will note, before we get into it, Chaim notes that there is an ambiguity. What word is somewhat ambiguous? Chol harish'ah. Right? Now, rish'ah could mean evil people. It could mean evil doers. Right? Because it means evil. Right. Now, the problem with that is twofold. The problem with hanging your hat on that ambiguity is, first of all, that there are girsot that we have of this bracha where the girsa isn't a chol risha, but is ose risha. Okay. If it's ose risha, then sorry, it's sinners. There's another problem. What's the bigger problem? Yeah. Thank you, Chaim. Is that even if harisha is evil and not evildoers? Continue in the bracha. V'lam al shinim, whatever it means, which the girsa might be v'laminim, might be mishumadim, right? Whatever it is, al ti tikva, and then what? Yeah, and then what? Yeah, what are the words? Come on, you say this three times a day. Yeah, what are zedim? There's Zaydim are sinners. Right? Meaning, the point is that there are other words in the bracha there are other words in the bracha that you wanna give me diyukim and risha, zaydim. Yeah. Okay. And in fact, right, another the Mishnah Halachot has this ha'ara that the Gemara, you probably have learned this at some point, right? The Gemara said that if somebody is davening as a chazan and he reaches the bracha of Rabbi Birchat Aminim and he pauses, he doesn't say it, then what do we do? We don't kill him. No, we don't stone him. Oh my God, you haven't done this. No, wait, oh my God. We
take him down from being chazan.
Yes, we take him down from being chazan. Wow, that escalated really way too fast. No, we take him down from being chazan. And what he notes is that Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason is Shehu Eina Rotze Lekalel Et Atzmo. That he wouldn't want to get up there and curse himself. So what does he point out? If you think it's not about the sinner, it's about the sin, then, right, then that's not what's going on. So he points out that these, right, so he notes that at least Rabbeinu Yonah takes the simple understanding, which is that what you are doing is davening for the destruction of the Russia, not the evil, but the evil doer. Okay? But that obviously stands in contradiction with our Gemara. Now the problem with just throwing out one Gemara is that it doesn't seem to be just our Gemara. There are others. So for example, the Gemara on Brachot Dav Zayin that we mentioned last week says that Rabbi Yeshua tried to calculate the time that God gets angry to make the men die, right? And he fell asleep and he realized it's because that it's not good for a tzaddik to cause someone else's demise, right? Gam anosh la tzaddik, right? Lo tov lakot nidivim al yosher. Sure, but it builds up a lot, right? The Gemara in Shabbos kuf mem tetam bet says that if someone is punished because of you, then you won't be allowed into the mechitza of God. The Yalkut Shimoni says in a shocking statement. The Yalkut claims against Pshat in the Torah that the reason that Moshe wasn't allowed into Eretz Yisrael was because he asked God for the Adat Korach to die.
What?
Yes, right? That was his sin. Okay? So we have, all these pieces of evidence that build up to saying we don't like doing this, right? Now, it's interesting. The Mishnah Halachot says that it could be that the machloket between Reb Meir and Beria is dependent on the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Vav, where the Gemara has a machloket as to whether we are called banim to God, right, children of God, only when we are good, right, when we're ose maaseh banim, right, when we're acting like the children of God, or even when we're not, which is a very interesting sugya in and of itself. Then you have the Gemara of Abba Chilkia, right, which we mentioned last week, right, Abba Chilkia and his wife. Then you have the Zohar that Rabbi Kiva Eger brought on this Gemara that we mentioned last week, who says that we paskin like Beria. And the Zohar there has this amazing proof. What's the proof that you should never daven for bad people to die? Because if someone had davened for Terach to die, then the Jews would never have existed. Right?
What?
Yes, that's the Zohar's proof. Because if you daven for Hashem to die, then clearly bad things will happen. Just like had someone davened that Korach, the Terach rather, should die, then Avram would never have been born.
It wouldn't have been possible
for Terach to die. Why not? Tefillah hadn't been invented? Oh, come on.
No, because davening for, maybe if it's somebody important that's actually going to,
But you didn't know that Avram would be important. You don't know who the Russia's child is going to be.
Moshe did when he killed the mystery, supposedly cursed
him. Okay, not everybody knows that. Okay, not everyone's Moshe. That's actually one of the Ikari Amunah. Not everybody is Moshe. Okay? That's actually one of the Ikari Amunah, according to the Rambam. Okay? Like, and on the positive side, right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin says that Reb Zeira would pray for sinners to repent, even though not everybody approved of it. And the Gemara then continues that when Reb Zeira died, because no one else would daven for him, the sinner realized, oh, no one else is davening for me, and he actually did tshuva. So Reb Zeira's death actually accomplished getting the guy to do tshuva. And the Gemara in Chulin, Tzadibet, says that we need all Jews, even those who are reikanim min ha-mitzvot, right, that are empty from mitzvot, because the world needs all of them. Right? There are all these Gemara that point to the fact that the Bruria statement is not a standalone. And then you get V'la Malshinim, which is... Right, and so maybe you'll tell me, oh, V'la Malshinim is a standalone, and you'll tell me you don't paskin like Agadata, fine. But I'll give you an Agadata, which, admittedly, we don't paskin like Agadata, but it does seem to raise the questions of our attitude to Rishai. I mean, this is one of the weirdest Gemaras in all of Shas, and I know that's a high bar, right? is the Gemara in Psachim Memtet Amud Bet. I remember being in Gush once, and I don't know if it was Daf Yomi or whatever it was, but one of the Ramim, very big Talmud Chacham, but, you know, decent memory, but not like super memory, happened to be looking at the Gemara, and he just started cracking up. He's like, I forgot that existed. It's so funny. Where the Gemara has a list of statements like Mutar, the craziest is Mutar linochro la amaaretz afilu biyoma kippurim shechal yod b'shabbat. You're allowed to stab in Am Haaretz even on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbat. And then if the Gemara wasn't weird enough, the Gemara then continues and stab in Am Haaretz even on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbat. And then the Amru Lo Talmidav, the students then ask, Rebbe, so what should their question be? No, so then they say, no, Rebbe, Omer L'shochta, why would you stab him? You can shecht him. And he answers, Zet ta'un bracha, zet eino ta'un bracha. Because this needs a bracha, and that doesn't need a bracha. Right? And why would you make a bracha on him? Right? And then the next Gemara is, oh, but if you don't want to do that, amaret mutar l'nechro kedag. If you want, you could tear him open like a fish. And then the Gemara clarifies, umi gabo, from the back. Okay? And then, I mean, the Gemara is weird, because then the Gemara flips, and Rabbi Kiva says, and by the way, Amaretz, don't think it's just us who hate them. Amaretzim hate Talmid Chacham too. And when I was in Amaretz, I used to say, give me a Talmid Chacham and I will bite him like a donkey. Right? And then the Gemara says, why like a donkey? Why not like a dog? And he says, because donkeys, when they bite, they break bones and dogs don't. Right? So the Gemara is very weird. It's a very weird dynamic.
That's great,
Eddie.
The strangest Gemara, though?
I didn't say it. Said it's one of. Strangest? I don't know. You know, listen. It's one of those things. It's definitely, is it the strangest? I don't know if it's the strangest. Is it up there? It's pretty weird. I'm not saying it's the strangest. There are other Gemaras that are stranger. Yes. Probably true. Yes.
Or at least it's a Gadata usually gets pretty high up
in the street. That's not true. There are some Gadatas that are not so strange. And then there are Gadatas that are very strange. This is among the stranger ones. So what do we do? Okay? So what do we do? How do we be Miyashiv it? So... So you tell me. Someone tell me methodologically how we are going to be miyashivit. How are we going to deal with this contradiction? On the one hand, v'la malshinim, daven them to die, blah, 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 blah.
Change over time.
What?
Change over time.
What do you mean?
Back then.
Oh, okay, you're getting fancy. Be neat first. Be neat. What? So you're okay, guys. Be very, very simplistic. Right?
Different types of people.
So we could go with different types of people. But the easiest, I mean, hardest, but the simplest conceptually is just to say, eh.
No!
No. This Maharal basically says, eh. You know what? V'la Malshinim means that evil should die. There are other parts of it that sound like evil, that it's not about evil, it's about evildoers. Eh. Okay. I mean, whatever. Bruria said it. Yalla, what do you want from my life? That's what it means. I mean, what do you want from me, right? Really? Come on. Like, Berea said it. You know, yalla. I mean, really, what? Why are you annoying me? Obviously, all it means is Risha is evil, right? I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but right, Berea says that it's, you know, I mean, you want me to read it too? You didn't believe me. Fine. So, right, and he says it can't be. Kihem lamdu otanu v'his hero otanu shel al yehi tfilatenu b'inyan zeh klal. Chazal told us, don't do this. And then proof, Reb Meir and Berea. Right? He says, you see that Reb Meir thought you're supposed to daven for Rishayim to die. And Berea said, no, no, no. Right? That's not what we do. Daven for them to do tshuva. Urishayim odeinam. Right? So therefore he says, V'kach ro'wi shi'itiyah tefila. That's what prayer should be about. Imkein, heim lamdu inyan ha'tefila v'yizhiru shlo yu tefilatinu aval Hashem she'amutu. Rak shlo yu nimtzayim kachatayim. That's how our davening should be. Not that that they should die, but that there shouldn't be sinners anymore. Ki yashuvu el Hashem yitbarach. They should do tshuva. V'imkein, ech efshar lomar she'im avrol divrei azhar atzmam. So if Chazal tell us not to daven for the death of Rishayim, how can you say they told us to daven for the death of Rishayim? Right? Right? So therefore he says, he does what Chaim says. He said, well, the bracha doesn't say die. It says, al tihi tikva. They should have no hope. So he says, that means, shelo yeh tikva lahem shiyu oda mishumadim mimitzio. They should have no hope to remain apostates. Rak yasuru mina olam. V'ratzalam shelo yeh that we should have no hope that such people should list rak yachzeru min ha'asim, because they should all have no hope by doing tshuva. Okay. So then he says, what about kol haminim karega yovedu? All Eretz should in a moment be lost. What do you think he says? Shalodiyah dat minut ba'olam. There should be no heretical thoughts in the world. Aha. V'azyu nev adam in ha'olam. He says, if it had said, kol aminim yorega yamutu, fine. But it says, yovedu. Their thought should be lost. What about ikaretu? Cut down. They should be removed, you know, the evil. You know, our enemies. So he said, maybe those are, you know, whatever. There shouldn't be a malchut zadon, right? Right, there shouldn't be wicked kingdoms, but not necessarily the wicked people, right? So Te'akir is on the Malchut, right? And he goes on like this, okay? Right, so if you want, and I know this is obviously Josh's approach, this is what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear someone who was going to do this. No, I knew, obviously you were going to do that, uh-huh. I know you love Perushim like this. Right, and the Mishnah Halachot quotes the Skver Rebbe is also doing this. He says, "Oh, machnia zedim." What's machnia? Doesn't mean to kill. It means to make them humble, to humble them. Right, you're by making them do tshuva. Right, but you don't kill them. No, Rachmana Litzlan. Right. Okay. So you could do that. You could do that. I acknowledge that many very important people did that. And other people do that. You look in Beis Mordechai, he says this. Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz in Yared Dvash says this as well. Now, he has a slight difference. He says, okay, it does say Zaydim. That really sounds like a sinner. Kasha. He's like, I have a solution. Just that word really means that you should daven for them to die. But I'll make it ukimta. There's only one type of person that we actually daven to die. Let's see if you can get it. What? Nope. Amalek! It's Amalek! Amalek! What do you mean? You're right. Any word in that that looks like death, it's about the people that we're obligated to kill. You know, I mean, whatever. Isn't that the answer to all problems? Like, okay, but if God wants to help, I mean, you know, I mean, right? So he says, so everything else, you know, yes, I understand. And then he says, what about tachnia, which, despite what the Sefer Rebbe sounds pretty harsh, he says, I said this last week, but you're going to hate me. He said, it's the klipot in people. The klipot in people. Okay? Now, again, there are very big names on this. The Gra also says this. The Gra also says it is about Rish'ah. It's about evil. It's not about... right? And his proof is that it says Risha and not Ose Risha, right? So, I know, and that, and his proof that this is not the Girsa is exactly what I just said. Right? The Chemdar Hayamim, also, he doesn't like the Girsa that we do have, because of Zaydim and stuff like that, because it implies we're diving at the destruction of people. So yeah, you can just... Okay. What? I don't remember. But whatever it is, or I come up with something. I have to look back at it. Right? Now, so again, there are a lot of people who go in this direction. The Arizal, as we said, just said the whole thing is about Klipot. Everything that looks like people, it's about Klipot. It's all about Klipot. Okay? So you could do this. You could just say, listen... Buria Paskins, you're not allowed to daven for people to die. You daven them in tshuva, take Vilam Alshinim and reinterpret and kimtify it into oblivion. Oh, kimtify into oblivion. I mean, you can do that. You want to do that? Go ahead. Right? You can do that. Let's say you don't want to do that. Because, you know, you read this and, you know, I've had this for, this has happened to me sometimes. Sometimes I'm convinced of a position until the people who hold the position trying to prove it. And then I'm like, oh, that must be wrong, right? That just doesn't work, right? Like, in theory, it sounds good. But when you actually try to defend it, it sounds so absurd, right, that I can't deal with it. Okay, so good. So someone tell me, if you don't want to say this, good. So the other way to say is, listen, you're taking our Gemara too broadly. It doesn't say all types of Rishayim. It's certain types of Rishayim, right? And then you got to figure out different types of Rishayim. So many people... Good. So you have, for example, it could just be minor sinners versus, good, right? So it could be minor versus major. It could be people who are sinning all the time versus people who are sinning not all the time. It could be, right? So the Tosfos, so I'm going to really run through a summary. So Tosfos, the Rush, etc., say that the difference is lesser sinners or really bad people. The Meiser Okeach says that it's apikorsin and mesitin, right? Heretics or people who, right, try to lead other people astray versus your run-of-the-mill, right, Russia. Right? So again, it could be just apikorsin, just mesitin, right? Because now, why would you say mesitin, by the way, is different? Because they convince other people, and that's the one case where the Gemara tells you you're not allowed to have mercy. Right, and therefore you're not allowed to have mercy on a Maisit, right? It's the only case where we encourage entrapment, right? We're like, right, we hide witnesses behind a wall and say, okay, tell me what you were saying again, right? So that we can get in front of witnesses. Reb Eliashiv says that anybody who denies the Chachamim, that person, it's kavod shamayim for them to be destroyed. So they are a category in and of themselves, and other people, not so much. What? It could be, right? The Ravya says that it's... you might not like what I'm about to say. What? I'm just reading you positions, really. He says the difference is, I'm going to have trouble, but okay. So you know that Gemara on Dav Zayin that says you shouldn't daven for someone to die? So he says, Sarech Adam Shelo Yechavin B'Sha Shekadosh Baruch Hu Es Lahanish Et Chavera. When God's angry, you shouldn't daven for your friend to die. Perish, because then it's like he's going to die. Aval, I see that I wrote this wrong, writing my notes. No, sorry. Not so bad, actually. He says it depends at what, the only thing you can do is daven when it's going to be certain. Right? Like daven at the time of God's anger. Because that's like murder, right? I mean, I don't know if you'll like that either, but okay. Right? But he says, but if it's, but like if you're davening to God and you're saying basically do what you want so God can say very nice, no. One second. Maybe he thinks that's what he was doing. Okay. Now the Reben Yakar has a hedgy shot. That you're not allowed to daven for people to lechatchila die. But what you can say to God is let them do tshuva, and if they don't do tshuva as a last resort, then kill them. Right? And he argues that maybe that even is what Beria is saying. Is that Beria is saying, listen, don't take that as your first line, don't take that as your first choice.
Step 2.
Yeah. Avudraham, right? What? It's not threatening. It's saying, God, I just can't handle these people. Like, you need to do something. Right? You need to do something, but, you know, whatever. The Avudraham says that as well. You're not allowed to curse them, but you can request, you know, whatever. Now, it happens to be that there are Reb Aryeh Leib Frumkin, I have it in my notes here, set in his Seder Ramagon, says the Argir so that actually says something that explicitly, right, which is let them do tshuva, and if not, Rabbeinu Manoach says that it's only proper to daven for them to die at the moment where they're about to harm the Jews, right? Like, if right now, like, they're running at you, right? Like, right now, they're in the middle of a plot. What? Meaning, like, not the second, but, like, there's a plot afoot, right? Like, it's right now you're in danger. So then he says, okay, what are you supposed to do? Daven them to die and end this, right? But if this is, like, the long term, right? Now. I don't know. Now, another possibility, and I said this possibility ties back to the grammar. And this is the Emet Liakov, right? The Emet Liakov says what Josh said before, which is that the grammatical solution, the grammatical issue actually provides another solution, which is if chataim and chotim, right, the difference between chataim and chotim is not sinner versus sins, but someone who sins versus perpetual sinner,
yeah.
Right? Then he says maybe the difference is you're allowed to daven for perpetual sinners to die. And Beria is just saying someone who happens to sin, but that's not ingrained into their identity, so then you're not allowed to them to daven for them to daven. The Kara Kemach admittedly just says, no, the bracha means evil and sinners should all disappear. Everything. Just get rid of all. Now, the Marpella Shon and the Avudraham have another one, which I like. Okay? So far, the answers we've seen have distinguished between perpetual sinners versus one-time sinners. The gravity of the sin, the immediacy of the consequences, right, and variations on a theme. The Marpelash and the Avudraham have another suggestion, and they say there's actually, and this is actually, I think, a very powerful distinction. They said the common denominator between the Gemara and Daf Zayin and Daf Yud is that in both and in Abba Chilkia, all those cases, why do the people say don't daven for these people to die? What is the case? It's where the Rishayim are bothering Rabbi Meir. And he wants them to die. Or bothering Abba Chilkia, and he wants them to die.
Not where they're actually doing anything bad.
Like, not that they're not, but that there's a difference between davening for vengeance and davening for evil people to die, not because you have a personal stake. Right? That davening for your enemies to die is a problematic thing. But davening for evil people to die because you're opposed to evil right? You understand that what you're saying is that when you, right? When what you're saying is that when you're davening for someone who's your enemy, right? That's a problem because that's vengeful. But when you daven for Rishayim in general to die, even if you're davening for people to die, the point is that what are you really doing? There isn't much of a difference between asking for evil to die and evildoers to die if you don't have a particular enemy in mind. Right? That's right. It's that personal vendetta that makes it really about the person. Right? And therefore, it's legitimate to daven that evildoers in the universe should die because evildoers will exist and what you really are opposed to is evil. Right? And I have a quote here from Rav Bick in his series on Shmoneh Esrei, where he takes this farther, and he says, listen, there exists a concept of the kingdom of iniquity, right? Malchut Risha. The forces of evil organize and create an evil organization. Here, the individual people become secondary. It is a matter of principle that we fight and oppose these forces and not hide behind the abstraction, evil. Judaism has never favored pacifism or quietism. Acceptance of the existence of evil in the world is collaboration with it and is itself an offense to the kingdom of God and the sanctification of his name in the world. Hence, the martial and bellicose language of this blessing. For indeed, we conceive the world as a field of battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. God is at war with Amalek for all generations. Right? Milchama la'ashem ba'amalek midor dor. Right? So, what the argument could be is, listen, it's not that it's problematic. If you're davening for wicked people to daven, but you don't have a particular person in mind and they're not bothering you, then what you're really doing is recognizing the reality of evil and fighting against it. It happens to be that the implications of that are that some actual person going to die. I mean, okay, right? But what's driving you is a hatred of evil, right? The problem in the Beria case, in the Abachilkia case, is that Remeir isn't davening for evil people to die. He's davening for the people who annoy him to die. Right? That's a very different, it's a different approach to life, right? Saying, I don't like evil. I want the world to be a good place to get rid of the wicked people. Okay. Saying that person who annoys me should drop dead. The Shirei Dat, and the Memshalat Hadat, the Shirei Hadat, Shirei Dat rather of Bloch, has a similar but slightly different approach, is that the whole point is that the difference is really, are we davening about a specific person or making a general statement about the world, right? When we daven that evildoer should die, that's fine. Because again, how different is that than saying evil should die? It's not that different, right? We're davening in the abstract, right? But even if it's not your enemy, when you have a person in mind, right? That's when it gets problematic, when you aim it at a particular person. Okay, that was my running through my notes on this.
I want to get that last question because there are important cases where there are particular people who are threatened.
Right,
if it's a life threat.
Right. I mean, I'll read it to you. What he says, it's really, the way he puts it is slightly different, is that you should daven that God's midot should manifest in the way that he should destroy wicked people. And therefore, he says, that's why this is the parallel of Alat Tzadikim, right? Where there, we're davening for God's midah of support for Tzadikim should be increased, and his midah of destroying evil should be increased. Those are... okay? If you want my notes, I'm happy to send it here. I have... what I read you is from my summary of notes, but I have in my notes also the Makarot from which that was based. And this is... no. My notes are 45 pages. 45 pages. So I'm happy to give you all the Makarot on this.
Why not? 45 pages is 40 cents, 5 pages. So 200 pages.
as in 45 pages. And that's just on these issues. I don't think I have everything in my notes. Okay. Woo! Okay. Derech Agav, okay, I want to make just a brief point, and then we'll get, hopefully, to the other major point here. Rav Bleich very nicely argues that the ethos of this Gemara is not just about what we daven for. But this Gemara is supposed to teach us a statement, basically, of our approach to the world. So this is in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 3. He writes, and this is about terrorism, of all places. He says the following: above all, we must foster a moral climate in which acts of terrorism are anathema. The psalmist calls out, Yitamu chatoim min aretz, let evil deeds cease from the earth. The Gemara Brachot 10a underscores the use of the word chataim in commenting, Niktiv chotim chataim gziv. We pray for the eradication of evil deeds, but not of evildoers. Okay, I'm not sure that's right, whatever. And there, where he says, even if in administering punishment, the purpose is not retribution, but prevention. Public condemnation are essential lest silence be regarded as approval. And approval, heaven forbid, can only lead to further violence. Right? So he argues that even when we punish people, right, this should be our attitude to life, is that we don't want to destroy evil people. Right? We are trying to get rid of evil. Sometimes that means evil people will be destroyed in the process, but that's not the point. Okay. I see we have 12 minutes left, and I have a lot left here, so I'm going to speed through this only because I've given Agadat Hashir on it before. And therefore, if you want the long version of it, I can send it to you when we did it in Avodah Zarah. Okay? So I'm going to try to do a quick version of the... Okay. I just have to find it, but you can find it. It's... Well, I got it in Avodah Zarah when we did that 3 years ago. The other major issue in the 11 minutes now that we have left is how is this not a violation of free will? Yeah. Right? Look, this is a major issue.
Can you say that
you've
from that, like, the...
You know what? I'll ask you. Would you like me to give you the 10-minute version of this because I've done it before, or... Am I just going to give up and say we're doing a third week on this? And I'm basically re-giving the Agadata that I've...
I'm okay, though. I've been a vocal minority here.
What? Okay, it looks like that's the majority. Okay, fine. So then I will hold off on it. Look, it's a very important point. It happens to be that this is only one of the sugyot. It developed very interestingly. You'll find that basically everyone quotes the same tshuva in the Mil Tzedakah. That, like, everyone is in conversation with this tshuva in the Mil Tzedakah. But you just said you want me to hold up. Okay, so you want me to... Okay, I'm going to make a few other than small points. If you want me to talk about that, then I'll make some other small points. Okay, an interesting voice appears in the Salach. How do you say Davin in Aramaic? In this case, so sometimes slow say, and how is it here? Boy Rachameh. So in this particular case, the Salach just note, that's odd. Well, he says, I don't understand. Reb Meir was boy rachame that they should die? It literally means that you ask for mercy. Like, what? Right? He says, what is that? Right? Plus, he has the problem with Dav Zayin, which is Gam Onesh Letzadik Lo Tov. Right? Which is, you're not supposed to do this. So he argues that, again, I don't love it. He says, you're right, it was Rachamim. You know why he was allowed to daven for them to die? It was a very local case. It was that God had blessed these people. These were billionaire Rishayim. And God, and Romare looked at them and says, Chaval, God is giving them all the reward in this world. They're not going to have Olam Haba. If I daven for them to die right now, that'll be mechaper on them. And then, you know, they'll have Olam Haba. Somehow that's not a, and therefore it's mercy. What? I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't know how you read this. It's unbelievable to me. I guess he's saying, what do you mean? There's a better way of them. Well, why are you davening from the die to be mechaper? I'm davening for them to do tshuva. And then, no, to do tshuva. And then they'll deserve it.
Maybe he wanted to lose all their money because then it could appear as if they're dead.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want from me. I don't. Okay, I don't know. Oh, right, sorry. I forgot one of the Pshatim Vilam Al-Shinim. Rabbi Yashiv says something which is very Balabatish.
Oh, okay.
And he says, listen, there's a difference between a few people where it's reasonable that they're going to do tshuva and like all the evil people in the world. That's just not reasonable. Like, some people might do tshuva, but like, I mean, be real, right? It's like, have you read Navi? I mean, how often does it happen that everyone does tshuva? I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? Just, it just, that's not how things work, right? What? Yeah, it's, you know, that's just not happening. Okay. Okay, another small issue. I'm holding myself back from the free will one, even though I really want to do it because I love that free will discussion. But okay, other points. Some of the Mefarshim ask, forget the problem of Olam Al-Shinim versus Ar Sugya. How do you deal with Ar Gemara and Dav Zayin? Right, meaning doesn't Reb Meir know that it's not good for people to daven, for people to die? Like the Gemara and Dav Zayin says that. Onesh letzatik, it's not good for someone to be punished for you. So you could have just said he argues, right? But the Ravya, as we already saw, said the difference is davening stam or davening at the moment when God is angry, because that's like murder. Because if you get that, you calculate it at the right moment, right? Then it's like magic and it's murder and that's wrong, right? So that's different. Some just say. And this really doesn't help very well, but this seems to emerge from like the Rashash. Well, they were bothering him a lot. You know, it's one thing a little, but it was a lot. So like, you know, it's a lot. So what, you know, it was really annoying. I mean, what do you expect from the man?
Sometimes you can fully understand.
Okay. Okay, I'm just gonna, for a few minutes, I'm just gonna tell you some of the other problems that are raised, which we're not gonna get into, okay? Some of the Mefarshim ask, why didn't, and if there's something you want me to summarize, let me know as I'm going through. Some say, okay, forget the Gemara and Dav Zayin, why didn't he learn from Abba Chilkiah, right? Right? Meaning, once you see that there are other Gemara here, the Ben Yehoyada solves our Gemara and says that Rabbi Meir wasn't davening for the new tshuva, he was davening that they shouldn't fulfill their desires. I don't understand that, because then what is Buria adding? Beyond me. Yeah. Running through my notes here. So some people come to our Gemara and deny that he ever said what he said, right? That's another way. So like the Kedusha Ubracha, who I really don't know who that is, but he's quoted in the back of the Masifta Gemara, says that he wasn't. First of all, the only reason Reb Meir was so angry was because they were his neighbors, and the Mishnah tells you it's bad to have bad neighbors. So that's why. What? Yes. And then he says, right, and he says he doesn't mean that they should die. He was just davening that, I don't know, not that they should die, that they should be punished or something. I don't know. So some people just look at Gemara and deny it. Others say that, no, Rabbi Meir thinks that it's actually good to be cruel to evil people. So you find that in the Sefer Beit Moshe Chaim. Now other people point out that this Gemara is just another proof that Bruria, because she was the daughter of Chanan ben Tarajan and learned Torah, knew a lot of halacha. Thank you. That I think was obvious. As I pointed out, there are people who make big deals of the fact that it's always women who don't want evil people to die and always men who want them to die. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, running through different things that there are here. Right, so some people say, why are there psukim in Tehillim that sound like David is cursing his enemies, right? And then they start being miyashiv every pasuk in Tehillim. So obviously we can play this game forever, right, and go through literally every pasuk in Tehillim where they do this, and then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but there are discussions in many of the Achronim about doing that. Okay. So what that leaves us with is the major question, I think, and that is the free will question, okay? So I guess next time we will do the free will question, which, again, you know, the free will question to me is maybe the most fascinating. I was going to run through it, but look, I hate giving a shiur twice. It pains me to do this. Last time I did it on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Hey, where the Gemara criticizes the Jews for not asking God to take away their free will after Har Sinai so that they would always do good. What? Right. So that's another one of the key Gemaras where they asked. And then this was an actual Shaila that was posed to Rav Yonah Landsurfer in the Meal Tzaka. But there was a twist on it. Okay. The twist on the Sugya was, they didn't ask whether you could daven for a sinner to do tshuva. They asked whether you could daven for the child of an apostate to do tshuva because it wasn't his fault that he ended up being an apostate. So they complicate the whole sugya. Oh, so, that only makes it more interesting. Again, I could have done it in 10 minutes very, very quickly, but I guess we'll do it next time. And then maybe we'll do something else. I don't know. Okay.